I everything that made me stand out, I had to stand out more. I had to be the one to be like, yeah, I'm the only black girl in school. You know what I mean? I had to own it. Yeah. I had to own it in order to protect myself. And then I had to own it in order to show them that I was more powerful, that I held my brand, I held my identity, not you.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Angie Legg is a personal brand strategist who is passionate about helping people find their unique message to build a brand and a legacy. Angie believes creating content is important and essential for entrepreneurs. She teaches experts and thought leaders how to harness the power of their story and grow their audience. She shares her own compelling story to inspire others to step out of their comfort zone and into their power. I am here with Angie Legg. And I'm super excited because Angie is a personal brand strategist who believes it doesn't matter how amazing you are if no one knows who you are. I really love that.
Period. Isn't that true?
It is. It's very true. Very true. So, Angie, can you maybe give us a little bit about your background and how you got on this path of becoming a personal brand strategist?
Absolutely. Ebony, first, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. You have a great platform, and I'm really, you know, honored to be on it with you. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, you know, my story is interesting. I believe that it's really important for everybody to harness their story as part of what they do in their life. And I'll give you a little bit of a background on me. It does start 36 years ago. I'm 36 years old, and everybody knows, you know, you are your brand. So it happened 36 years ago on September 4th, 1984, when I was born. I had died not once, but twice within the first 24 hours I was born. And, you know, from the gate, I was trying to survive this crazy world. Luckily, my birth mother, she was this beautiful Haitian woman, but she couldn't take care of me the way that I needed to. So if she took me, I would have died. And if she didn't, You see me today, you know, she made the right choice. So she had a lot of strength. She had a lot of courage to actually pull that off and say, you know, this is what I need to do for this child. Lucky for me, I had a family almost immediately. One of the nurses who was taking care of me was like, I love this sick little tubed up baby and I'm going to take her home. And so in 1985, we were all living in Miami, Florida, and they were like, you know what? Let's make this official. I was their foster child, and they tried to adopt me, but Florida was just like, no, that is illegal. And the reason why that was illegal, Ebony, was because I was black and they were white.
What?
So in 1985, girl, So when people talk about, you know, segregation and fighting segregation, is it still alive? It's my generation. It's our generation, you know? Yes. And so it's crazy. So my family, who is mostly all white, didn't care. They didn't care, girl. They loved me. They didn't treat me any different. I was ashy. I was ashy. Girl, don't make me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But that's I was loved.
How do you handle the, because they don't really know.
They don't know. And that's probably what Florida was thinking. They're like, we don't need no ashy babies running around Florida.
Oh, that's
you know
hilarious.
What I mean? But, you know, all in all, it was real love. It was love. It's amazing when you're chosen. I was chosen. You know what I mean? Some children, even born from their parents, aren't chosen.
Right.
I was chosen. Yeah. And they made sure that I understood that. And it was really, it's really, really beautiful. Their courage and their confidence to stand up to the judgment. I mean, they had the Black community being like, what are you doing with that ashy baby? And then they also had the white community being like, what are you doing with a Black baby?
Right. You know?
Yeah. And they didn't care. They really stood up to a lot of criticism and took on a lot of judgment. And I never felt it. I never felt what they were going through. So really powerful. I grew up in a really powerful family that just showed me love. Mm-hmm. So that being said, girl, I stood out. I stood out. There was no missing baby Angie, you know, and I got used to that, and it didn't seem like anything until I got to school, trade school, and public school. And I realized, you know, my family was really different. I was really different. And I ended up landing in a suburbia school, which is perfectly fine. I wouldn't take it back. But there was a huge lack of diversity, and it was sink or swim for somebody like me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, here I am. I'm not threatened by white people because of my amazing family, mm-hmm. but I understood the social construct mm-hmm. of what I was dealing with at a young age. And so what it was fight or flight. And I decided to fight, mm-hmm. and I took my uniqueness and made it my brand. Wow. You know, everything that made me stand out, I had to stand out more. I had to be the one to be like, yeah, I'm the only Black girl in school. You know what I mean? I had to own it. Yeah. I had to own it in order to protect myself. And then I had to own it in order to show them that I was more powerful, that I held my brand. I held my identity, not you. You couldn't Right. tell me that, you know, Right. you can't tell me how to be Black. You can't tell me none of that. So it was a struggle, but it was completely worth it. And I harnessed all of my talents from singing to sports. And I was quickly labeled as a leader. My teachers really saw that in me. And I was winning awards. I was on stages. I was all these different things. So I was harnessing a personal brand at a very, very young age and just didn't know it. But it's very distinct. There's nobody who meets me who doesn't forget me. You know what I mean? And so I was able to understand that. Right. And then as I got older, it turned, you know, I utilized my personal brand to get jobs. Mm-hmm. I utilized it to, I negotiated, I worked at a place, I worked at a great showroom, design showroom. I've been in sales for 20 years, and I left, I came back after 5-6 years and grew up the ladder, and I came back and they tried to offer me, you know, a little something. I'm like, do you not know who I am? You know, but I had done things. I had done things. I had harnessed my personal brand. I knew that I was valuable. And so I was just like, you know what? Let me test this out. And I doubled my contract, girl.
Wow.
I doubled my contract. And so with that, I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, but I still wasn't associating the brand part of it.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is cool. And then, you know, 2019 comes around and e-commerce is popping, the digital atmosphere and environment is popping. And I'm working in an industry that's mostly brick and mortar, mm-hmm. and they weren't transitioning to e-commerce. And I was like, I don't think this is for me anymore. So I started doing audio and video production and then was finding myself. And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me an opportunity to really look into what part of the audio and video production scene I wanted to be a part of. And lo and behold, I stumbled across the baby of marketing is what I call it, which is personal branding. Mm-hmm. And with personal branding, the power that I found when I realized it was personal branding was I was experimenting with content. I was doing live streams and webinars, and I was doing these trivia shows. So every week on doing trivia, and an NBC casting director saw my Instagram of 400 followers, and he scouted me out. Mm-hmm. And took a couple months, did the audition. He did the audition for me. My brand was strong enough that he pulled my application to bring to the executives and were like, no, this chick needs to be on the show. And so he vouched for me because my brand was strong. It was consistent. And he called me a few months later and was like, "And you got the part, blah, blah, blah." And it happened to be on my best friend's wedding day.
Oh my God. So I
couldn't go. Can you believe that? But the power, that's when I realized, I'm like, "Ange, I didn't need a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. I didn't need an agent. Mm-hmm. I just needed me."
Right.
That was it. And that made the light bulb. There was an explosion in my brain of, so many people think that they need so much to be seen, and it's not true. It's just not true. And so with my love of people, like I said, I've been in sales for 20 years, and I tell people I've never sold a single thing, because it's not about sales. It's about what the customer is looking for and then giving it to them, you know? And it's finding out their story behind it. And I was lucky to be working in a lot of people's homes. Mm-hmm. And so there was always a story. There was always a story. My daughter comes home from college and her bathroom needs to be redone, you know? Well, let's make it perfect for her. Isn't she going to love the way this, it's a story, right? You know, everybody has a story. Right. And so I've been practicing telling these stories and getting these stories from people for 20 years without me even knowing it. And now I'm like, now I want to take your story and help you tell it to the world. Mm-hmm. What's your most valuable asset? You know, what's your story? How can you impact somebody else's life? And that's what I want to do.
Okay. Wow. That is an amazing story. There's a lot to unpack there. So let's start with, I kind of want to define, which you kind of did, but I just want to make it clear. Can you define personal branding?
Personal branding, you know what? And that's a great question, because it's almost like defining the word business. You know what it is? There's a lot of different ways to do business. There's a lot of different ways to build a personal brand. But honestly, to me, it is your most authentic self. I always tell people, you are your brand, whether you like it or not. But what makes building a personal brand different is that you get to decide what people hear, see, and think.
Okay.
So a personal brand, who said this? I forget if it was Jeff Bezos, but a personal brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
That's what I was trying to remember, because I was actually speaking with someone recently. I think she was a marketer, and she said the same thing. It's personal branding is what people are thinking about you after you've left, or when you're not in the room. So, okay, that's great. And so how then does your personal story fit into how they're thinking about you when you're not in the room?
Because stories are what people remember.
Mm-hmm.
Stories, you know, facts and statistics, nobody can remember.
Right, yeah.
But you'll remember that I had a white family. You'll remember that I grew up a black girl in a white town and had, you know, struggles that I had to overcome.
Yeah.
And why that makes it so relatable is because now I'm a person.
Yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about personal branding, mm-hmm. is because I become a person and not a business or a product or a service. And people buy into people.
Right.
You know, like I said, in sales, like, people don't buy products, they buy people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what personal branding is. And if you can leverage it correctly, you can really use it to your advantage.
Okay. And you said a key word there, relatable.
Yes.
And so that's really like the purpose of telling stories. Cause you're right. Cause I studied rhetoric, and I teach high school English. And so we learn about ethos, logos, and pathos, like ways you can persuade an audience. And as you said, there's all that like intellectual logo stuff, the statistics, which don't really matter. But when you get into like the ethos, getting people to relate to you, it's the stories that really draw people in, because they want to feel something too. Emotion is a big one. Also, I'm wondering, can you talk a little bit about how emotion plays a role in personal branding?
Absolutely. Because I just recently had this situation where for the past week, I've been having really intense dreams. Mm. And my best friend was just like, you know, what are they like? Describe your dream. And I'm like, God, I can't describe it. And she goes, then tell me how it made you feel.
Mm.
And then I was able to, and I was just, you know what? I felt like heavy on my chest and a little panicky and scared. And it helped me, you know, understand my dream. Mm-hmm. And that is the same with storytelling. When you feel something, you understand it better. You connect with it. You know, when you feel emotion, whether it's happy or sad or even fearful, mm-hmm. it's the emotion. And that's the most important part of the personal branding message, that and value, which I'm sure we'll get to. But it's that feeling that you get. And it's, you know, for me, I want people to say, I want to be myself, mm-hmm. you know? And in personal branding, I call myself the rebel of branding because I don't care about your logo. I don't care about your website. I care about your content. And a lot of people work the other way. But we don't experiment enough in the content to even know what our brand is saying.
Right. People, okay. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So people build their colors and build their blah, blah, blah. Then they put out content and they're just like, well, why aren't people responding to the content? I'm like, because baby girl, you haven't even experimented yet. You don't even know what kind of content you're good at creating. Right. Do you even know your audience? Right. Have you told them your story? Do you know how to link your story to your product, service, business, whatever? Right. And most people don't know how to do that.
Right.
So, you know, I want to be out here being my most authentic self and hopefully getting other people to feel the exact same way and say, you know what? I want to take action because I see what she's doing and I can do that too.
Right. Right. And, you know, another big thing, Angie, that you've touched on is people really need to know their purpose. Like, what is it that you want your audience, once you find your audience, to do think or feel after they've watched your video or read your content? And I think that's something that a lot of people overlook. And that's why people flounder, because they don't understand their purpose. And when you don't understand your purpose, it's hard to find an audience because you don't exactly know who you're serving or why you're serving them.
And so what I happen to call it is finding your why.
Yes.
And the reason why I stopped saying purpose, because I did say purpose for a long time, but I've had a new revelation on what purpose really is. And I truly believe that. I read great books like Napoleon Hill and Dale Carnegie, and they talk a lot about finding that one purpose, you know? Yeah. And I look at my life and my own experiences, and honestly, I've had many purposes, mm-hmm. you know? I've had many purposes. And a purpose is when only you or the organization, you know, but only you, only the entity was possible of pulling off a certain situation or problem or whatever. That is purpose, you know, and we can have many of those. Mothers find purpose in their children, but also find purpose in their careers.
Right.
So why are we kind of nailing? So I help people find their why. Mm-hmm. And the reason why the why is a little bit, easier to understand is because it's not so daunting. Purpose, you feel stuck with a purpose, but with your why, you're just like, you know what? I do it because I want to make an impact on people. That's me. Yeah. I want to make an impact on people. For others, they want to come out with a technology that assists people in communication. Mm-hmm. You know, for others, I mean, it goes on and on. We get it. So it's the why. And for me, when I saw that my family really stood up to judgment and they were confident in who they were, my why is making sure that you felt comfortable in your own skin. Because I know how hard it was to feel comfortable in mine and be myself. And I was told I was too loud. I was told I was too dark and that my hair was too kinky. And I had to own that. And I want other people who are struggling with that same thing to say, no, I own this. And not only am I going to own this, I'm going to own the monetization of it as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's get into the monetization. And you know, before we do, I just want to mention Simon Sinek. Have you read that book, Know Your Why?
I've heard of the guy now, but I haven't read the book.
I was thinking of that book when you were speaking now. So yeah, and he talks all about basically what you said is what he talks about. So it's a great book. So on your website, you have the C3 method.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I recently come up with the C3 method because, like I said, I'm the rebel. I don't believe in starting with the colors and the website. I believe in starting with the content. So we start with finding your cause. It's cause, create, and collaborate. That's the C3 method. Mm-hmm. And we start with your cause. First, we start and discover your why, and we define the reason you do what you do, basically. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't take too much, but sometimes personal branding really seeps deep into personal development. Mm-hmm. And I think that hits people in a way that they weren't prepared for. When you build a brand, you're really looking deep inside, and it freaks a lot of people out. So we start out by discovering your why and defining why you do what you do. And then we move on to defining your audience. A lot of people have a target audience, but not a lot of people have an audience persona. Have you ever heard of an audience persona, Ebony?
Yeah. Is that the avatar?
Pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. So the audience persona is that one person that you're speaking to. And everybody gets so caught up in, well, I want to speak to everybody. I understand that. And you can, but this is how you do it. So let's say we have this audience persona. Mine, and I'm even still fine tuning mine as I'm looking at my algorithms and my insights, because I'm still in part of the experimenting mode. Mm-hmm. You know, I've definitely got some content that I know that works, but I'm trying new content all the time. So right. you don't have to feel stuck, but you have to be laser focused. My lady is a woman. I know that women are a huge part of my audience, who is around my age. She has two kids because she is a person who is building a business herself. So most women won't have more than two kids in that instance. Mm-hmm. And so my person is very specific. She has a BA. She's not necessarily a master's person. She's got a BA, drives a Subaru type of thing. She is just a hustler, very smart and functional in how she thinks. And, you know, so I have a very clear idea of the person that I'm speaking to. Now, what people don't understand is that I'm speaking to that person, but I'm also speaking to that person's family and friends. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can start speaking to everybody. Mm-hmm. But when you are speaking to, Jennifer Smith, you know, you're speaking to Mr. Smith too. You're speaking to their best friends. But when you know who that person is, you know all those best friends are going to go to Lake George, you know, in the summer. So you're going to be talking about the lake. You're going to be talking about boating. Yeah. You're going to be, you know what I mean? I boat. I do those things. I need to make sure that I'm talking to somebody that I can create content for by just being me. Right. You know? And so a lot of people pigeonhole themselves. And I'm like, no, it's marketing. Stop getting so emotional about it. Mm-hmm. It's marketing. It's not your family. You know, yeah. It's a community. It's definitely a community, but it's not your family. So.
Right. Okay. So that's is the audience persona part of the cause?
And that is part of the cause. Okay. Yes. This is part of your why, yeah, because you've met this person. Because what happens once you discover your persona, they start walking through your door. They start calling you, right, that exact person. Yeah. So absolutely, it's part of the cause. It's part of the beginning parts of creating the brand. And then the last part is you script your story. So you take your why and you take your audience persona, and then you tell them in a way that they can hear you. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't talk to women the same way you talk to men. You don't talk to adults the same way you talk to kids.
Right.
So that's why you have to do those other two things first. Then you script your story. And it still can be authentic. My story is gender neutral, you know, but I tell it from a more motherly position. Uh-huh. You know, because I know I have a lot of females. So I do. I talk about the strength of women in my story. Mm-hmm. And so they will connect to that. If I was talking to more of even like a Black community, I would then insert more of my Haitian heritage into my story, which I absolutely could. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's why it's important. And then you script your story and part A is done.
Right. So Angie, can you talk a little bit about, here's this concept of pain points when you're addressing your audience. How important is that when creating the story that you include some of those pain points that your audience might be experiencing?
oh, it's so important. And that's why knowing the audience persona is important, because you know exactly the pains that they're going through. So for instance, I know my audience is struggling with time. Mm. You know, I mean, who isn't? But two kids and a husband and trying to build a business, like, I know that you're struggling with time. So how can I make your time more valuable? How can I, you know, make it easier for you? So the pain points are really, really an intricate part. And I just started following Donald Miller, who wrote a book called Story Brand. And I absolutely love him because he defines exactly how to, you know, create your message. And he takes three sentences, and I've started implementing it because it's brilliant. Three sentences. You have the pain point as your first sentence. Then you tell them exactly how you're going to fix it. And then you're going to tell them the outcome. And you pitch that everywhere. Yeah. And it's strong and it's simple. You know, we don't need, in this world of you have 5 minutes to speak, you know, we have a lot of networking Zoom calls. You get 5 minutes to say what you need or 30 seconds to introduce yourself. You better get on that little tagline. But those are the pain points. You want to start with the pain points. And when you're providing value for those pain points is when, you know, they start to come around and say, oh, okay, Angie can definitely help me out because I'm struggling, you know, creating 30 days of content. I'm struggling with video. How do I keep messing up on my video. How do I do better on video?
Yeah. And you know, it's always so, I'm always so intrigued when I'm reading a sales letter, like online, and I feel like I want to purchase that product like right then and there. And I used to wonder, like, why am I feeling so strongly about this? And it's because they like hit all of my pain points like straight away and how they're going to help my pain points. Like, do you feel sad when your cat looks at you or whatever it is? Like, yes, I do. Yes, I. It's just, it's amazing once you can actually label what they're feeling.
And honestly, it's research. It's research and marketing, because I can go right now and Google 34-year-old women with two kids and I will see all the problems that are going on.
Yeah.
You know? So it's exactly that. It's exactly that.
All right, Angie, let's talk about create.
Yeah, because this is the best part. And I think the part that I think is the hardest for everybody. This is the part where everybody's the most uncomfortable, despite digging deep and finding that why. This is the most uncomfortable because so many people are so concerned with judgment. I'm so tired of judgment. I'm over it. I've been judged. There is nothing that you can say to me that's going to hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? And you know, you can even talk about my mama, because you want to know why? You want to know why? Because I feel empathy for people who troll and who judge that way. It says more about them and their hurt and their pain than it does about me and my life. Mm-hmm. You can say whatever you want about whoever you want. You're blocked.
Right.
You're blocked, you know? And so I try to really give people that confidence, because that's what's going to take them to the next level of creation. So let's talk about creating a little bit. You want to start with what you've got. Are you not on a computer?
Yeah, I'm on a computer.
I'm on a computer too. Yeah. How many people have a computer, right? Start with what you got. Like, there's nothing fancy. I will say I do have a nice little fancy camera, but it's not always that. Anybody can start from anywhere. And I started all of my live streams, and I was contacted by NBC with content that was done all from my phone and my computer. So no excuses, y'all. The one piece of equipment that I tell everybody to invest in is a ring light.
I was thinking of, okay, that's what it's called, a ring light. I was like, what is that? Okay, thank
you.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at the difference.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Not bad.
Right. Yeah.
But you'd put on that, even a soft light.
Oh, wow.
Brighter, glowy, you know, and this isn't on full. So you want to get a dimmable ring light. They are typically around $80. That's how much you want to spend. Because that one investment, I use it for every Zoom call, every podcast, every interview. Look, the quality is fantastic.
It is, yeah.
You know, it makes a huge difference. So that is the one piece of equipment But I tell people, if you don't have, the ring light is forever. And you can't, you know, it comes in a little case and everything. So you can't mess it up. You can't, it's not going to break. So it's really a great investment.
Okay.
So yeah. Start with what you have. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a ring light right now, you better take the shade off of your lamp. That's exactly what I had to do. Listen, that's what you got to do. Take the shade off the lamp and put that lamp right behind your computer and make sure that the light is coming at your face. I get that question a lot. Where should I place the light? You want the light coming straight at you because you don't want any shadows, because the shadows kind of distort your face. So whatever it is, take the shade off, put that light right behind the computer or right behind your camera and press record. Yeah. So start with what you got.
Yeah.
Then you want to create on the right platforms. And I know that this is a really difficult subject because how many platforms are there now? Have you heard about Clubhouse? Are you on Clubhouse?
No, I'm not on Clubhouse. I actually just, someone invited me on something Aligned. It's like some networking for business, like LinkedIn, but it's called Aligned.
Oh my God, I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah, there are so many of them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to set this up now.
Brutal. But that's the thing. And I know a lot of people get very, very overwhelmed. And I break this rule a lot. I'm going to be completely transparent. Part of that is because I like to experiment and it's my job to know about these different platforms and things like that. But, you know, I really tell people, if you're starting out, I mean, believe it or not, most people are not creating content. You know, they might be posting about family and dogs, but they're not consciously creating content. So, you know, I tell them two platforms max.
Okay.
When you're creating content, when you're focused on creating conscious content, you want two platforms. The ones that I recommend are LinkedIn and YouTube, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
So Facebook is great. And Instagram is great, but they don't allow the organic reach that most people starting from the bottom or with few followers really can profit from. Hmm. So you really need to get on platforms that are going to allow organic reach and going to allow you to really connect with a lot of people quickly. Instagram, if you don't have the dolo, then it's a no-go, you know, and that's the thing. So I feel, you know, it's saturated, it's definitely saturated. It's catered to all the influencers now, which is great, which is absolutely great. But LinkedIn is really, really fantastic because of the organic reach, but also because guess the average salary of a LinkedIn member.
90 grand?
Close, 75.
Okay.
Which is great. Yeah. Which means most of these people have the funds to do whatever, pay for your services.
Mm.
Whereas Instagram is definitely much younger, less savvy, you know. So LinkedIn is really a fantastic platform. They just launched their stories.
LinkedIn has stories now?
Girl, I am so glad we met. We're talking after this. We are talking after this.
That's like the one platform that everyone's telling me I need. To be honest, Angie, I've just recently started like really stepping into social media because I was off it for years. But LinkedIn is the one I really haven't explored yet.
Here you go, girl. It is time because for you, it is going to be essential because you can connect so quickly and the quality of guests that you can obtain are also higher. Mm. So it's very strategic. It's still free. It's free. That's why I wonder why people fight the social media system so much. I know it's tiring, but it's free marketing. So take advantage. But I'll put you onto LinkedIn because it is absolutely so powerful. And my network, I've been nonstop. I just finished another interview just a half an hour ago with a guy who's killing it on LinkedIn. You know, I was his 163rd episode. So Yeah. So it's really happening. And LinkedIn is great. Now, TikTok is also great, but TikTok is not for everybody.
Yeah.
So I know that it's also not just for teenagers. I don't think it's just for teenagers, but it's definitely, it definitely puts a lot of people out of their comfort zone. Nobody wants to dance, and it's not always that, but that's how they see it as. And most of my clients are more on the professional side. They're thought leaders, they're public speakers, you know, they're authors. So we're not going to really find a ton of them on TikTok, but it is great for organic reach if you want to get on there. But LinkedIn is great. And then the second platform that I highly, highly recommend is Mr. YouTube. Yeah. Let's be serious, guys. You know what I mean? It's the second largest search engine.
Yeah.
And it's free. Mm-hmm. Again, there is no reason why. I am in the process of discovering your personal brand. The other thing I also want to just quickly say is that building your personal brand doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Like building in the create part, mm-hmm. you are creating. You are experimenting. Yeah. And it's been a year of experimenting for me and finding my niche and fighting all of the things that everybody else fought. I don't want an audience persona. And then I understood the value of it and then applied the value. And now it's working like a charm. So YouTube, absolutely second largest platform. And really what I tell people, I've taken a lot of courses on YouTube and get a great title. You know what I mean? If there's one thing you need to know, get a great title. There's a lot of things going on out there, but use Google Trends and Google Analytics to create a great title. Google Trends and Google Analytics are both free SEO tools. Mm-hmm. Okay. That will help you find, keywords mm-hmm. that are going to help you structure your title.
And you're talking about the title of your channel, Angie?
Oh, The title of your videos. The title of your channel is typically with a personal brand, your name.
Yeah. Okay.
The one thing that I am dying to actually discuss with a panel of branding women is, you know, currently 36. I am single. Holla at me, y'all. little plug.
I love it. I'm single too.
Okay, girl, let's get, because we're busy, we're moving, we're making moves, you know? What was I saying? We need to...
You're talking about that you had a panel of women.
Oh, yeah. So I am Angie Legg, and that is my brand right now. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen when I get married. I change the brand name? You know what I mean? So I've struggled with that and struggled with understanding that. What some people are doing are not using their name. There are definitely some people who aren't using their name. They've decided to create a business name, a business entity, you know? And to me, that's different than personal branding. That's right. Business branding. Right. So I really struggled with that. And I would love to hear what a lot of women are doing. You know, not everybody's Beyonce. You know what I mean? Not everybody can just go by their damn first name. So I'm struggling out here. And so it's different. It's definitely a struggle. And I wonder how that will transition for myself and others. But at the moment, yes, I do. I use my name. I tell most people to use their first and last name. And because you want to be recognized, you know, right. You don't want to use your name for a business.
Right.
Because then you always have to be there.
Right.
So you use your name as a personal brand because, honey, you're looking at an empress. I am building an empire. You know what it means? Which means I'm going to have a lot of different businesses. I have my hands in a lot of different things. My overall umbrella is personal branding, but I'm in real estate. I'm in design. I'm in so many things. Mm-hmm. And all of that attributes to my personal brand. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, when it comes to YouTube, I usually say yes. Try and snatch up that name. I own both Angie Legg and AngelaLegg.coms. Owning your website is so important. Having a website is not as important as owning the .com.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you can transfer that .com and it can go anywhere. Right. You know what I mean? You can AngieLegg.com and it can go to my digital business card if I wanted it to.
Right.
You know, I don't need a website, but having the name and owning the name is definitely important. So I start with that. Yeah.
Angie, before we move on, the social media platforms, that's like really big. You shared a lot of great information. I was like learning stuff myself. Thank you for that. A lot of people, I feel, I can just hear people thinking like, but what kind of content do I create? Like, what are my options? Because we know that video, we can do that on YouTube. On LinkedIn, what kind of content are you creating?
All of it, girl. So this is what I tell people. For anyone who's starting out, I mean, I'm a professional public speaker. You know, I've been speaking actually since I was young, been on this acting stage and sports arenas and things like that. So I've really understood my audience, and I still had to, like I said, experiment. So what I started with was 1 to 2 minute videos.
Mm.
And I think so many people get so caught up, I need to do 20 minute YouTube videos. I'm not even doing 20 minute YouTube videos right now, you know, because I'm still curating my content. And a lot of people don't take that step. And this is why I call myself the rebel of branding, because I'm like, y'all need to figure out what you're talking about and what people like to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Not everybody wants to hear certain topics from you, mm-hmm. you know, but when you tap into what they're liking and sharing, go with it. So I start with 1 to 2 minute videos because they're just, they're easy. They're quick. They're easy. They're non-invasive. You don't need a script. And you talk about something that you've learned. You talk about one thing that you learned that day to help somebody else. And that's the whole point of content, guys. You have to be helping somebody else, period. That's the whole point of life, if we're going to get down to it. Right. You know, it's giving. It's giving of your gifts and your talents and your experience and your knowledge, okay? This isn't about you. Even though it's a personal brand, this isn't about Fluffy, your Yorkie poodle. You know what I mean? This is about what can you provide? What can you give to the world that's a part of you? Yeah. So 1 to 2 minutes. So today, I haven't done my minute video, but I did 2 pretty much back-to-back interviews. And I'm going to talk about how exhausting it is, you know, and I'm going to be like, you know what, guys, I just got off the last interview. I've been on for about 2.5 hours. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is exhausting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what I'm going to do to help relieve myself. I'm going to take a time out. I'm going to have some tea. I'm going to go walk my dog, because that's how you stop content overwhelm, you know, and then that's going to be the title. How to stop content overwhelm. I begin with the story, the pain point. Guys, I am tired. It is a struggle out here creating this much content. And then I'm going to say my solution. 1 to 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Done. You know what I mean? And people, and then now I'm creating 5 to 6 minute videos easily, you know? So people just have to start little. Then when you get to the 5 to 10 minute videos, you are talking about scripting a little bit. Scripting is not, it's such a great strategy and a great technique behind the scenes. I have my little notes up, so you can't almost even tell that I'm looking at them. And usually a good 5 minute stretch, 3 easy topics. You have what you're gonna talk about. Hi, I'm Angie, I'm a personal brand strategist. And today I'm gonna be talking about mastermind groups. And then point one, point two, point three, and conclusion. Guys, Ebony, is this not what we learn in English class?
Yes.
Right? How to write an essay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Intro, right. Body one, body two, body three, conclusion, ties it all together.
Yeah.
It is the same with a script. Mm-hmm. It is the same with creating content. Ebony's students, I hope you're listening. I know she's teaching you, but y'all need to be listening. And same with adults, because they don't, you know, we all learn this. This was embedded in us. It's the first thing that we were taught was how to write a paragraph.
Right.
So, and how to write an essay. And it's the same thing. So I do bullet points, really quick, dirty, easy bullet points, and I go. And sometimes I do mess up. I'm at the point where I take like 2 to 3 takes max, mm-hmm. you know, but I practiced on the 1 to 2 minute videos enough that I can nail my longer videos in less time with less tries, which is also very time saving and so on and so forth. So, you know, you just follow that format. And then once you get into long form videos, you script a little bit more. But at that point, you're using a professional camera. You know what I mean? It's a different level. Right. So don't worry about that until you're ready to actually get to that level. By the time you're at that level, you're going to know. Right. Because you're going to be like, I need to hire an editing person or a VA. You know. Mm-hmm. Girl, I know. It's happening. I'm like, ugh, I know. So, I hate delegating, but I have to do it because I don't have time. You know, my time is spent here with you and whoever else and not out there. But I've put in the work with the 1 minute and 5 minute videos that now that the, you know, the 15, 20 minute videos are coming.
That's great. Okay, collaborate.
Yeah, then you want to collaborate, which is literally my most favorite thing. Guys, so me and Ebony, if I can put this out there, met on a platform called Matchmaker. Mm-hmm. And this platform allows podcast hosts and podcast prospective guests link up and connect. You know, it's really hard to find good talent. And it's basically, you know, a way to do that. It's a platform to do that. So collaborating has become an essential part of my personal brand strategy because you need other people's audiences.
Right.
Period. Yeah. I'm going to share mine. You're going to share yours. And, you know, our people are going to meet. And that's what community is all about. So it's definitely important when you're collaborating to think about your brand. We spend all this time on the why and your audience persona. Make sure that who you're collaborating with fits within those regulations. I know everybody wants to get out there. I want to be on every stage and platform and everything. But for your brand, if you want really solid community, because people confuse followers with community, and that is not the same. That is not the same because I have 500 odd followers, almost 600 followers, and I get more engagement and interaction than some of my friends who have 3,000 followers. Okay. You know, all you have to do is look at the statistics. So you're telling me you have 3,000 followers and you're only getting 50 likes because I have 500 followers and I'm getting 60 likes. Like somebody tell me, somebody explain that to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's about the community. It is not about the followers. So that's why it's really important to understand who you're collaborating with. And you know, you fit the bill. I know my audience is listening to what you're creating. So it was an opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
And I knew that I could provide value. That was the other thing. I knew that I could provide value to your audience. I'm not going on some tech platform, you know, and talking about personal branding. Right. I can go on a tech platform and talk about digital networking. I have a product that's a digital card, you know what I mean? And I can do that. But it's, you know, it's that fine line. So you want to make sure you're collaborating with people who fit within your mold, but obviously to share audiences, you also want to network. I know that in this COVID time, networking in person isn't as possible, but networking is, and it's easier than ever. I have 15 one-on-ones set up for just this week of meeting new people I have not ever spoken to. It's insane, but it's amazing because what I'm creating, like I said, is community. Community is stronger than followers. Okay. So that's why networking is such a big part of collaborating, because you want to find out, oh, like for instance, personal branding, there's a huge umbrella of branding, marketing, and I'm reaching out and collaborating with other brand specialists because, for instance, a woman that I know styles men, which is part of personal branding, your style. And she's like, and now I need you, you know, I've got a part of the package, but I'm selling this course and I need you to put it all together. I give them their style. You give them the means to, you know, take that style and monetize off of it. I'm like, yeah. And that's a full course. That's value. We don't step on each other. We have synchronicities. And that is so, so strong. And I learned that lesson when I was in sales. I was in New York City. I was a New York City rep and I owned the whole entire city. And I would go on calls to big architectural firms with my retail representatives. So I was the manufacturer who built the product, and then I would sell it to the representative, and the representative would sell it to retail. So we would go on trips all the time together because the audience loved seeing the two people. Like if they asked a question, they'd hear two forms of an answer, you know, that would come to about the same answer, but they'd hear it from two perspectives, or somebody would say in a way that they would get it better. You know, the power of numbers is evident. And so collaborating is so important. But that's when I first learned it, and people really preferred us being on calls together. And I was like, oh, wow, look how powerful that is, you know, at the time. And now I look back and I'm like, holy crap, that was really powerful, what we were doing and how we were showing up.
Right.
So that's why, you know, networking is so essential. And then the last thing you want to do, like I mentioned, is team up with those industry professionals so that you're synchronizing your brands and, you know, sharing the knowledge. But there's no I in team, you guys. I don't care what anybody says. You know, Michael Jackson couldn't have been Michael Jackson without his five brothers, you know, without the Jackson Five coming up. He just wouldn't. I mean, he was the star, you know, but he couldn't have done it. Selena, same with Selena. Despite what you want to say about how great she was, she had the support of her family, you know, and that is so, so important. And I preach that from the depths of my heart, because without support, you're doomed.
Right.
I'm telling you, you're doomed.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, and I know a lot of people don't have that support from their family and friends. And that's why networking is so important, because even if I'm not teaming up with industry pros, I'm talking to them about my woes. You know what I mean? Girl, how many times I've been rhyming? I mean, I'm like a lyricist today. I'm gonna go write some music after this.
You're like a Dr. Seuss.
So it's so important to link up with, you know, industry people, because they'll support you in ways that your family and your friends aren't going to. And you need that support, absolutely, because it gets tough out there. It's tough.
Yeah. Angie Legg, this has been wonderful. Tell us where we can find you.
Everywhere, girl. No, everywhere. Google. You can find me. I am Angie Legg is my handle on most platforms, Instagram. You can find Angie Legg on Facebook and LinkedIn and Clubhouse. Go check out Clubhouse. It is popping. It is popping. And you know, you guys, I'm going to be putting out a lot of incredible stuff. 2021. I am a dove right now. I am flying and I am embodying everything that I believe in. And I can't wait to, you know, create all of this stuff that's coming out and creating programs and courses for you guys to tap into and learn from. And this is valuable, actionable content. The content that's even on my website, that is actionable. You can go ahead and Google every single step that I have laid out for you. It just takes time. And that's why you need somebody to strategize it for you, because we can do each step in a meeting, most cases, you know, rather than you going and researching how to do it all in a few steps.
Right, right.
So yeah, find me everywhere, Insta, LinkedIn, hit me up. You guys, you'll see my digital card everywhere. If you see me on LinkedIn, make sure to hit that Q code to scan that Q code and you will have access to everything. You can text me, you can call me, email me, and you can check out all my interviews and shows and everything Angie Legg.
I love it. Thank you.
I love
it. Oh my gosh. Angie Legg is so much fun to talk to. And she has an incredible story. She knows her stuff. So we went over time. I had to cut about 10 minutes, maybe a little over 10 minutes from this conversation. I'm going to post that as a separate bonus episode this weekend. So make sure I will post it on Sunday. So make sure you check out that episode because Angie, you're not going to want to miss it. Angie shares how she negotiated her contract and doubled her salary. And it all comes down to really knowing and believing in your own value and how you can add value to other people's lives. So it's a wonderful, amazing, inspiring, encouraging story. So make sure you check out that bonus episode. In the meantime, please visit Angie Legg's website and her social media. Also, visit my website, zazo.com, for more interviews, articles, personal essays, journal prompts, all this stuff. And I've started a new segment of my podcast in which I share one writing tip per week. So you can check out my first episode called The Life of Verbs, How to Breathe Life into Your Writing. And they're very short. They're like 5 to 10 minute episodes. You can follow me on Twitter at Ebony Haywood, Instagram and Facebook at Motivation to Write. And you can sign up for my weekly newsletter at zazo.com. Make sure you check your spam folder if you don't get a verification email. To actually be subscribed to my email list. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.